You know, that last song we sang, it said, to give all I have just to know you. Just think about it for a second. To give all I have just to know you. And I thought that fits in so well with our theme of conversations with God. Because I'm sure, at least I like to think that you're just like me, that, you know, throughout that time as a Christian and as we've walked with the Lord, I'm sure our conversations with God have gone from looking all kinds of different ways. Would you agree with that? So sometimes they probably look strong. Sometimes they look weak. Sometimes we probably have felt distant. Sometimes we probably have felt close to him, like we're hearing from him all the time. Maybe we've even felt like we've never had a true conversation with God. Because that could be the case, right? So, I feel super blessed when Denise gives me an opportunity to be with you guys during the summer. So as I pray for what we're supposed to do during the summer, because we don't have any homework, which means we got to come up with something, right? And, I just really felt like the Lord kind of put on my heart that we're to look at different conversations that God had with people in the Bible. So we only get to look at four different people, but we're going to look at four different conversations of people in the Bible and kind of see what happened there and try to learn from it the best we can. See where there's a place that it can be applicable to our life, right? Because that's what we want to do. As we read the Bible, we want it to become applicable to our life so that we can grow, so that those conversations with God are that place of being closer and deeper. So tonight, we're going to look at, wait for it, you ready? Moses. Did you expect that one? How many of you expected that one? I know. See, I knew a couple of them would probably expect that one, right? Because it's like the first big one, right? So let's pray, and we'll open up to Exodus 3. So, Lord, we thank you so much for just meeting us here. Lord, I'm just in awe of the chance to be being brought into your throne room with worship, and just together as a Bible study. It's such a, I don't know, I feel like when we get to gather as women and study your word, there's such a sweetness and a love and a fellowship in that, and we're all in it together, Lord. And I know at times in life as women, we feel so alone. We feel like we're the only one that feels this way or thinks this way or has this going on. And so, Lord, I pray that as we sit tonight, as we fellowship tonight, as we learn from your word tonight, Lord, that none of us would feel alone, that not only would we just gain that deeper and closer walk in conversation with you, Lord, but that we would be knit together as a group of ladies too. Lord, those that would uphold and encourage and exhort each other. And maybe we're going to learn stuff today that we've never known, Lord, but maybe you're going to show us stuff that just needs to be reinforced. So Lord, I pray that you would speak tonight, that you would open up what you have for us, that each of us would be able to take something home with us, Lord, that nugget, as so many of us say, Lord, that nugget that you desire for each one of us. And so, Lord, open our hearts tonight to your word, to continued worship, to prayer, to communion, Lord God. And, Lord, we can't do it without you, so we just ask you to come in to meet us, to guide us, direct us, and just fill us to overflowing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Exodus 3, right? I'm going to read it really quick. 1-3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Okay, so let's just kind of break it down a little bit. Because often we can say conversations with God, but what does that mean? Like, does that mean that we have to stop everything that we're doing? Does that mean that we have to, like, go off to a far land? What does that mean? So as we look at this, we see that Moses was going about his everyday business, right? Which was watching the sheep, right? He was going about his everyday business. He was tending the sheep, and he saw something that wasn't a common event. Now, actually an uncommon event, I'm sorry. When I was studying, they said that it wasn't uncommon for a bush to spontaneously combust. Did you guys know that? But the difference is that it would burn up. And maybe it was because of how hot it was in the desert. I didn't really read that far. Sorry about that, guys. But if you're interested, you can study more. But it was like in one of the commentaries. And so I was like, okay. But they said that the uncommon event were two things. The two things that were out of the ordinary. One, there happened to be an angel of the Lord in the midst of the bush. Probably not a common occurrence, even if the bush spontaneously combusted. Number two, the bush didn't burn up. So, everyday occurrences, normal things going about, but two very unordinary things happening to him. That's probably not much different than us, right? So we go about our daily business. You know, he realized that something was happening. And then he realized that something kind of unordinary was happening. So unordinary in the ordinary. And that drew him to the bush. It drew him closer. For he wanted to go and he wanted to examine. Okay, there's a bush. There's somebody in the midst of it. It's not burning up. That was very unordinary. And so he came in for a closer examination. Okay? So we're going to stop there. So we're going to pick it up. So the scriptures say, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stood, where you stand, is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Okay, so let's dissect it a little bit. So the Lord called out to him. But interestingly enough, what did it say like right before? He didn't call him until he had his attention. Moses drew near to the bush. So Moses had already kind of focused his attention on this bush that had this angel in the midst of it and wasn't burning up when it should have been burning up, right? His attention was already focused to that. And then the Lord called to him. So what do you think hinders us from seeing the Lord in something or hearing from God's word? What do you think hinders us? You know I like to be interactive, right? You love that. Distractions. Yeah. 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 And what did Moses do that sometimes we don't do? Did he give his attention to the bush? He did, right? Can you say that you always give your attention to the Lord? Because I know I don't. Right? So think about that. The burning bush, this not uncommon event that would happen sometimes in the desert, caught his attention. And because that caught his attention, Moses was now ready to receive from the Lord. He was now ready to receive whatever God had for him. And the Lord called to him, Moses, Moses. So, think about that. Okay, so we know the story of Moses, right? We know where he was. We know where he went. And it says in the scriptures here, it says that he's on the backside of the desert. So he's kind of in a far off land, right? Kind of lost. He was somebody. Now he's not somebody. But yet the Lord's calling him by name. The Lord knows his name, just like he knows your name. How often do we feel like God has forgotten us? Be honest, women, right? Because what? Things in the world lie to us, our emotions lie to us, and they tell us that God doesn't know who we are. They tell us that God doesn't love us, that he's not a gracious and caring God. But yet right here, even though Moses had left his people, had gone to the desert, was on the backside of the desert, God called him by name out of that bush. He was not obscure, and he was not forgotten, just like you guys aren't, each one of you. In God's reality, in God's world, no matter what we think, he knows our name, each one of us. So he called Moses by his name, and he gave him two directions. Do you guys see that? He says, don't come any closer, right? Because Moses was going to that burning bush. He's like, okay, there's something in the middle of it. It's not burning up. I'm going to go check out what's going on. I mean, not only to like make sure that everything was safe, right? He says, don't come any further, and you take your sandals off when you get there. Number one, the not coming closer. What does that show to the Lord? It shows reverence, right? That we know that we have a closeness to the Lord and we have a fellowship. However, we still need to have a reverence. We still need to recognize who God is. Two, that taking off of our sandals. The fact that he's standing there without his shoes on, that showing humility. You know, back then in the culture, and maybe even some cultures nowadays, it's a form of respect when you come into someone's home to take your shoes off. So the Lord was saying, you know, Moses, you're standing in God's house right now. Recognize that you've come and you're standing before me and see this as holy ground. And then how sweet. He reassured Moses, right? Because you got to think that Moses is kind of wondering right now, like, exactly what God am I talking to? And he says to him, Moses, I'm the same God. That same God that talked to your fathers, the same God that talked to Abraham, the same God that talked to Isaac, the same God that talked to Jacob. I'm not a different God. I'm that same God, just like he is today, right? He is the same God to us, that same God that speaks to us today. He's the God of that covenant that he had made with Israel. He's the God that has made the covenant with us. And how sweet is that? God was revealing himself and was going to reveal himself even more intimately to Moses than he had the other patriarchs, than he had to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what was Moses' reaction? I think a quite appropriate one. He hid his face. Moses understood the gravity of what was happening. His God, his creator, had just revealed himself to him. Wow. I think it's kind of cool. You know, as they continued on, because of this meeting, because God met him right there at that bush, God was able to go on and to keep talking to Moses, to talk with Moses. He was talking to him about what was going to happen, what Moses' commission was, how he, God, was going to be in the midst of it, how he, God, was going to be with Moses the whole time. I mean, Moses had a pretty radical conversation right there in the midst of the backside of the desert. So let's break it down into a little bit simpler form because I'm kind of blonde and I like the simpler thing. So in everyday business, God showed up in ordinary things, but in extraordinary ways. He drew Moses to himself, showed Moses he knew him by name, and just wanted Moses' attention. Through Moses' response, respect and humility, God revealed himself intimately and spoke to Moses' heart in a new and fresh way about deep and amazing things. Does that about sum it up? Do you guys think it sums it up? Guess what? That's the same conversation that we get to have with him. The same conversation. The same way. Talking in the same intimate way. Coming to him and having that response of reverence and respect and taking our shoes off in the holy place of having God speak into our lives. The reality is that God used, if we look at the Bible overall, talking animals, a flaming bush, angels, visions, a still small voice to speak to his people. All kinds of ways, right? So there's not one particular way that God speaks to us, just like there's not one way that he spoke to the people in the Bible. And he pretty much can use anything to communicate to a person who is ready to hear. Moses was ready to hear, wasn't he? We saw that he turned his attention to the bush. So I want to look at one other little conversation with Moses. If you turn to Exodus 33, verse 12, we're going to see a very intimate conversation between Moses and God. And I think that it has a level of intimacy that maybe we haven't seen before this point. But here's the part of it. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me who you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably upon you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied to him. Moses talked. The Lord replied. Which meant Moses had to listen, right? The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." How sweet. That relationship between Moses and God was so close that Moses just, I look at that conversation and he had such an ease of just pouring out himself and his heart to the Lord. "But Lord, what, you told me to go, but who's going with me? What's going to happen if you don't go? No one will know that we're your people." Like, he just poured out his heart. And I feel like there was no like, "Moses, why are you asking me these questions? You should know better." There was none of that. God just replied to him, "I'm going to go with you, Moses. My presence will be with you." And I feel like that's such an example of what God wants to have with us, that intimate relationship, that ability for us to pour out our heart, having reverence and humility, but yet a tenderness, knowing that God is not going to just slap us down and think we're stupid at asking our question. You know how you're in class, and there's never a stupid question. I think God made that up. You know? There's an intimacy that God wants to have with us. With you. With me. And I'm sure if you guys took a little eval right now of where you're at in your walk with the Lord, there's some of us that would be like, "Yeah, I totally got that going on right now. I'm really good." And there's some of us that are like, "Wow, I feel like I've never had that. I feel like I don't really know when the Lord talks to me. Like, I don't know his voice." And maybe there's some of us like, "Well, I used to have that, and I don't really have that right now." So we're going to try to have a little activity every week and give you some time during the study to kind of do a little thing to help us maybe grow that area of our life. So tonight we're going to start with the basic things that maybe you guys already know about, but we're going to kind of go over them, and then we're going to put a scripture up on the screen. We're going to give you guys some time to kind of go through it, and to not do it alone, we're going to kind of do it as tables. As we look at, you know, Moses, we saw that, okay, so here on the first part, Mount Sinai, that Mount Sinai visit that he had, that face-to-face with God, he had that face-to-face time with God, right? So if I asked you, how are your quiet times going? Your face-to-face time with God. Ready? Think of your answer. I'm not going to make you answer me out loud. But think about it. I know you guys think you guys can come up with it, right? So if your answer to that was anything other than, "I have it every day, all day long," y'all are laughing. Then we're going to spend a little bit of time tonight kind of having that encouragement. And maybe for some of us who go, "Well, I really don't know how to have a quiet time. I don't know what that should look like. I have these devotionals and I kind of read them, but I don't really get anything out of them. An hour later, I forget them." So I'm just going to bring in some steps that you guys can do to kind of have maybe a little bit. We're going to kind of go through a little bit of prayer, Bible study time, a little bit of prayer time, and how that fits into quiet time a little bit. So it's going to be a little bit of practicality tonight. So quiet time, and we can look at the scriptures to see why we need this. It says that Jesus often withdrew You guys know this, right? We went through it in Luke 2. Jesus often withdrew to a quiet place in order to pray. Very early in the morning, it says in Mark 1:35, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. During his quiet time, Jesus habitually removed himself from the busyness of life and spent intimate communion with his Father. Andrea's waving to me from out there. That's really funny. Anyways, okay, so think about that. Jesus got up from daily life and went and had quiet time with his Father. Okay, think about it. Jesus got up from his busyness of life and went and had quiet time with his Father. We should too, right? We should too. Jesus saw a need to take that time apart and to be with his Father. It only seems logical that we would need the same thing, considering we're not Jesus, right? So let's define quiet time a little bit. It can be any part of your day, where you try to, or you accomplish, pulling yourself away from the busyness of life and the ever-increasing demands of social media and text messages and your phone ringing, to spend time praying, reading God's word, and you ready for this one? Quietly listening to what God has to say. Right? Because we saw in that last example in chapter 33, Moses spoke and then God spoke, right? So how does Moses hear what God has to say if he's not listening, right? And it's often I feel like that's where I, not that I fall apart on it, but I feel like I'm impatient at times. You guys ever feel impatient with the Lord? Like I got 7 minutes, maybe 7.5, you know, of quiet time. And I'm like, oh, okay. Nothing yet, you know? But I mean, that's the whole idea, is that we're kind of allowing those things to fall away, which is really hard, right? How many of you, like, literally carry your phone with you 24/7? None of you? Come on. A lot of us, right? Think about how many times you check your phone to see if there's a text message, or somebody's, like, liked your picture on Instagram, or Snapchat has come through. Looking at the young kids. You have Snapchat, huh?
I don't know how to use it. I have
I think I'm one of the few adults that doesn't have Snapchat, but there's a lot of stuff that's taking for our attention, right? That even when we try to set that time apart, it's very hard to kind of let that stuff go. Somebody said to me, like, oh, you're not wearing your watch tonight. I have one of those Apple watches, and I said that the last time I shared, like, I left it on by accident. It's like, while I'm up here, and I'm like, take that thing off. Like, it was so distracting. It was like I couldn't get away from it. Okay, so we want to look at a little bit of a template for Bible study. So you guys all know this because you're here at Calvary. We study the word like crazy. But there's three things in studying for a Bible, right? We're going to, in a scripture, we're going to look at, there's a threefold process. We're going to look at observation, interpretation, and application. So very simply, observation is looking and observing what the passage is saying and describing. Right? Observation. What's it saying? We're going to read through the portion of scripture, and then we're going to go back and look at the initial observations about it, which is what we kind of did tonight as we were going through those verses of about Moses. Who are the characters? What's going on? He's on the backside of the desert. There's a bush burning up. You know, where is it taking place? You know, we can ask ourselves as we're looking at that scripture, you know, ask him those basic questions. Who, what, where, when? Those are all those observational questions, right? I know this is very basic. Probably all of you guys already know this, but maybe. So we're going to look at who's speaking, who's about, who are the main characters, what's the subject or event covering in the chapter, what do you learn about the people, the event, or the teaching, when do or will the events occur, you know, did something happen to someone? Where did or did it happen? So we're just looking at, you know, what things are being said in the actual scriptures. Why is something being said or mentioned? Why would this have happened? So we're just kind of looking at who, what, where, when, and why. And then you look at the interpretation part of it. So observation often just slides right into interpretation. But if you're looking at it strictly speaking, observation refers to trying to understand what's being said, while interpretation refers to understanding the overall meaning of the scripture. So when you're looking at it and from the observation of the text, you're trying to discern the primary meaning of the passage, what the biblical author was seeking to communicate, and what God was seeking to communicate through the biblical author. Okay. So we kind of did that. We were looking at what God's meaning was. What was he wanting us to have out of it? And then, of course, application. We all know what that means, right? How does the passage apply to us? How does it apply to others? What are some of the actions that we need to take in order to apply that portion of God's word directly to our life? And how often do we sometimes, really when we're doing that, when we're talking about the applicable part of it, how often do we tend to kind of stay surface level? Right? Because when we dig under the surface sometimes, especially when God's speaking to you about applying something particular in your life, maybe there's something that he's asking you to take out of your life or to put into your life, like a quiet time, you know, sometimes staying at that surface level, it's much safer. It's much safer for us, right? It doesn't require very much from us. It doesn't require any kind of like heart work in us. It doesn't require a deepness with the Lord. But I would suggest that as you look at this and you're doing observation and interpretation and the application part of it, that we really push ourselves as women to go beyond that surface level, to go deeper, and to really let the Lord say, you know what? There's something I'd really like to change or maybe increase in your life. Maybe there's an area of ministry or gifting and you're just kind of holding back, you know? And as you're walking with the Lord and you're having those conversations with God, God's trying to kind of move you out of your box. I mean, sometimes that box is because we feel so safe in it. Not that we're doing anything wrong, but we just feel really safe in that place. So then we would go on and we would talk about prayer. You guys kind of all know about prayers. I'm sure, how many of you have heard like the Acts way of praying? So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, right? So that's how we would pray. We would use those areas to pray and to pray through scripture sometimes. How many of you have prayed scripture? Like actually taken scripture and just prayed it? Yeah. How many of you not heard of that? Sometimes it's very cool. Like you can just literally just take, I've been in big prayer circles where we just pray through scripture and it's very cool just to pray God's words. It's amazing to see sometimes how like fitting it is with whatever you're going through or whatever you guys are praying about as in your prayer circle. So quiet times. So now we're getting there. So quiet times, it's kind of a combination, I guess, in a way, I feel, of combining these two things, that Bible study of Scripture and our kind of our little template for prayer, and we're going to kind of sandwich our prayer, our quiet time, right in between those two things. Because we're going to talk to God, and then we're going to listen to God, and then we're going to talk to God, and then we're going to listen to God. Right? And so that way of studying Scripture, if you're looking at a section of Scripture, that ability to observe and interpret and apply is kind of that. And we're going to pray through it. You're going to pray the entire time, just asking the Lord to open up your mind, because we know Scripture even says that, you know, there's places where people didn't understand the word because they weren't enlightened. Their eyes weren't opened, right? So we're asking for God to open our eyes during this time to show us wisdom, you know? You know, that ability of praising God for who he is and then asking him to work in our lives. And maybe the beginning of that quiet time looks like, Lord, I praise you for, Lord, forgive me for, and then reading a passage and asking God to open up the meaning of that passage for you, to going back to, Lord, I thank you for, Lord, I ask you for, right? Because that's what Moses did in chapter 33. He went to him and he said, Lord, you've told me to do these things, and I want to do them, but I can't go without you, right? He asked the Lord for something in that time, in that conversation with God. He asked him to answer him. He asked him to show him. He asked him to be with him. He asked him to reveal his ways to him. And God is super willing to do that, I feel like. How many of you have spent that time in prayer and in Bible study and in quiet time, and there's really something going on in your life, and how many of you have actually been met by God and given direction? Raise your hand. How many of you have actually? Look at that, you guys. Because that's our God. That's our God. He wants to have the conversation with us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to listen to him, and he wants to guide and direct us. And so I just feel like, you know, we have different templates, and maybe this template doesn't fit you, but I've learned over the time. I mean, even my group can attest to this. I mean, I don't know. I've been a leader for like 15 years, I think. And even in group, like the last night, there was something that came up and I was like, I have never seen this before. So I don't think any of us are too old to learn, to be honest with you. And so, you know, I just feel like this is a time for us to be honest with the Lord. Lord, I don't have the quiet time I would like to have. Or maybe you have a good quiet time, but you would want more. Or you want it to change in some way. Or there's something deeper. Or maybe the Lord is already speaking to you about something, and he, you know, you just haven't let him do that under the surface work yet. So what I want you to do is, if you're at a table alone, you got to go find a partner, at least one. So we're going to put Joshua 1:8 up there. So this is your scripture. So we're going to do it kind of as a group. So you're going to get together with other people at a table, and you're just going to spend a few minutes kind of going through the scripture a little bit. Talk about the who, what, where, when. Talk about what was God trying to say through it. Talk about how does it apply to us today? Those kind of things. And then when the worship team comes back up in a little bit, we'll have that chance for you guys to have that true quiet time with the Lord. Because they're going to do some extended worship tonight. We're going to have some time to just for you guys to quietly talk to the Lord about whatever it is he showed you in that scripture tonight. We're going to have the prayer ladies are here. So if you guys need prayer, we're going to have communion in the back for you guys to take whenever you feel led to take communion. We will have that every week for you guys, because I know how hard sometimes it is to get to communion. We love to do that during the summer. So let's just spend like maybe 5 or 10 minutes just looking at that scripture together, and then we'll go from there.